That's your joy. So your much me better. Day yesterday. Art.
I did. Oh, it's supposed to be me day. I thought you said meat day. I ate so much yesterday.
I know you did.
Yeah.
Well, hey, welcome out everybody to Chip and Eric Read Through the Bible. It's going to be a great one.
How great? On a scale of 1 to 10.
It's always a 10.
I've been sitting here with this card in front of me.
You got a card?
I got a thank you card. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But oh my goodness, it's like so a long nice. Thank you card. That's so nice. Oh, it kept going on the back.
Ah, yeah. I love people who write on back of cards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know who writes on the back of the card?
I don't.
Jennifer Mueller.
Oh, okay.
So they gave me a really awesome card. It's up in my office for pastoral appreciation.
Next to my picture.
Actually, below your picture.
Oh, okay.
Your picture's thank above. You. And
I would
down.
Appreciate that for sure.
And I totally missed that she wrote on it until I saw the back of the card.
Oh.
And I said to Ken Mueller that I love that she did that. And he said, you know what? She'll frequently do that. He might have even said always. She'll frequently do that to give other people room inside the card to write. She'll write on the back of the card.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which is pretty neat.
Yeah.
Like, that's a whole unique thing. So anyway, big shout out to Ken and Jennifer.
Yes.
We love you guys.
Oh, absolutely.
And a forgotten shout out to Gloria for the puff corn stuff.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Gloria. Yeah.
That's amazing. Thank you so much.
So good.
I really appreciate when the ox is not muzzled, you know?
No, it cannot be muzzled.
Get that muzzle off the ox.
Please take it off right now.
That's another t-shirt.
Speaking of t-shirt, Eric, today is day 106. We're going to read 1 Samuel 19, 20, and 21. We're going to jump ahead to Mark 8, 22 to 38. So go for it.
Saul tries to kill David.
I love
that's
that.
How you said that.
Yeah, it is.
1 Samuel 19. Saul now urged his servants and his son Jonathan to assassinate David. But Jonathan, because of his strong affection for David, told him what his father was planning. Tomorrow morning, he warned him, you must find a hiding place out in the fields. I'll ask my father to go out there with me, and I'll talk to him about you. Then I'll tell you everything I can find out. The next morning, Jonathan spoke with his father about David, saying many good things about him. The king must not sin against his servant David, Jonathan said. He's never done anything to harm you. He has always helped you in any way he could. Have you forgotten about the time he risked his life to kill a Philistine giant, and how the Lord brought a great victory to all Israel as a result? You were certainly happy about it then. Why should you murder an innocent man like David? There's no reason for it at all. So Saul listened to Jonathan and vowed, as surely as the Lord lives, David will not be killed. Afterward, Jonathan called David and told him about what had happened. Then he brought David to Saul, and David served in the court as before. War broke out again after that, and David led his troops against the Philistines. He attacked them with such fury that they all ran away. But one day, when Saul was sitting at home with spear in hand, the tormenting spirit from the Lord suddenly came upon him as David played his harp. Saul hurled his spear at David, but David dodged out of the way, and leaving the spear stuck in the wall, he fled and escaped into the night.
Michael saves David's life, and then Saul sent troops to watch David's house, and they were told to kill David when he came out the next morning. Michael, David's wife, warned them, if you don't escape tonight, you will be dead by morning. So she helped him climb out through a window, and he fled and escaped. Then she took an idol, put it in his bed, covered it with blankets, and put a cushion of goat's hair at its head. When the troops came to arrest David, she told them he was sick and couldn't get out of bed. But Saul sent the troops back to get David. He ordered, bring him to me in his bed so I can kill him. But when they came to carry David out, they discovered that it was only an idol in the bed with a cushion of goat's hair at his head. Oh, the biggest trick. Why have you betrayed me like this and let my enemy escape? Saul demanded of Michael. I had to, Michael replied. He threatened to kill me if I didn't help him. So David escaped and went to Ramah to see Samuel, and he told him all that Saul had done to him. Then Samuel took David with him to live at Naoth. When the report reached Saul that David was at Naoth in Ramah, he sent troops to capture him. But when they arrived and saw Samuel leading a group of prophets who were prophesying, the Spirit of God came upon Saul's men, and they also began to prophesy. When Saul heard what had happened, he sent other troops, but they too prophesied. Then the same thing happened a third time. Finally, Saul himself went to Ramah and arrived at the great well in Sekou. Where are you, Samuel and David? He demanded. Or where are Samuel and David? He demanded. They are at Naoth in Ramah, someone told him. But on the way, Naoth in Ramah, the Spirit of God came even upon Saul, and he too began to prophesy all the way to Naoth. He tore off his clothes and lay naked on the ground all day and all night, prophesying in the presence of Samuel. The people who were watching exclaimed, What is even Saul a prophet?
Jonathan helps David. 1 Samuel chapter 20. David now fled from Naoth in Ramah and found Jonathan. "What have I done?" he exclaimed. "What is my crime? How have I offended your father that he's so determined to kill me?" "That's not true," Jonathan protested. "You're not going to die. He always tells me everything that he's going to do, even the little things. I know my father wouldn't hide something like this from me. It just isn't so." Then David took an oath before Jonathan and said, "Your father knows perfectly well about our friendship." So he has said to himself, "I won't tell Jonathan. Why should I hurt him? But I swear to you that I am only a step away from death. I swear it by the Lord and by your own soul." "Tell me what I can do to help you," Jonathan exclaimed. David replied, "Tomorrow we celebrate the new moon festival. I've always eaten with the king on this occasion, but tomorrow I'll hide in the field and stay there until the evening of the third day. But if your father asks where I am, tell him I ask permission to go home to Bethlehem for an annual family sacrifice. If he says, fine, you will know all is well. But if he's angry and loses his temper, you will know that he is determined to kill me. Show me this loyalty as my sworn friend, for we made a solemn pact before the Lord. Or kill me yourself if I have sinned against your father. But please don't betray me to him." "Never," Jonathan exclaimed. "You know that if I had the slightest notion my father was planning to kill you, I would tell you at once." Then David asked, "How will I know whether or not your father is angry?" "Come out to the field with me," Jonathan replied, and they went out there together. Then Jonathan told David, "I promise by the Lord, the God of Israel, that by this time tomorrow or the next day at the latest, I will talk to my father and let you know at once how he feels about you. If he speaks favorably about you, I will let you know. But if he's angry and wants you killed, then may the Lord strike me and even kill me if I don't warn you so you can escape and live. May the Lord be with you as he used to be with my father. And may you treat me with the faithful love of the Lord as long as I live. But if I die, treat my family with this faithful love, even when the Lord destroys all your enemies from the face of the earth." So Jonathan made a solemn pact with David, saying, "May the Lord destroy all your enemies." And Jonathan made David reaffirm his vow of friendship again, for Jonathan loved David as he loved himself. Then Jonathan said, "Tomorrow we celebrate the new moon festival. You will be missed when your place at the table is empty. The day after tomorrow, toward evening, go to the place where you hid before and wait there by the stone pile. I will come out and shoot 3 arrows to the side of the stone pile as though I were shooting at a target. Then I will send a boy to bring the arrows back. If you hear me tell him, they're on this side, then you'll know, as surely as the Lord lives, that all is well and there is no trouble. But if I tell him, go further, the arrows are still ahead of you, then it will mean that you must leave immediately, for the Lord is sending you away. And may the Lord make us keep our promises to each other, for he has witnessed them." So David hid himself in the field, and when the new moon festival began, the king sat down to eat. He sat at his usual place against the wall, with Jonathan sitting opposite him and Abner beside him. But David's place was empty. Saul didn't say anything about it that day, for he said to himself, something must have made David ceremonially unclean. But when David's place was empty again the next day, Saul asked Jonathan, Why hasn't the son of Jesse been here for the meal either yesterday or today? Jonathan replied, David earnestly asked me if he could go to Bethlehem. He said, please let me go, for we are having a family sacrifice. My brother demanded that I be there. So please let me get away to see my brothers. And that's why he isn't here at the king's table. Saul boiled with rage at Jonathan. You stupid son of a whore, what? He swore at him. Do you think I don't know that you want him to be king in your place, shaming yourself and your mother? As long as that son of Jesse is alive, you'll never be king. Now go and get him so I can kill him. But why should he be put to death? Jonathan asked his father. What has he done? Then Saul hurled his spear at Jonathan, intending to kill him. So at last Jonathan realized that his father was really determined to kill David.
Yep.
Jonathan left the table in fierce anger and refused to eat on that second day of the festival, for he was crushed by his father's shameful behavior toward David. The next morning, as agreed, Jonathan went out to the field and took a young boy with him to gather his arrows. Start running, he told the boy, so you can find the arrows as soon as I shoot them. So the boy ran, and Jonathan shot an arrow beyond him. When the boy had almost reached the arrow, Jonathan shouted, the arrow is still ahead of you. Hurry, hurry, don't wait. So the boy quickly gathered up the arrows and ran back to his master. He, of course, suspected nothing. Only Jonathan and David understood the signal. Then Jonathan gave his bow and arrows to the boy and told him to take them back to town. As soon as the boy was gone, David came out from where he had been hiding near the stone pile. Then David bowed 3 times to Jonathan with his face to the ground. Both of them were in tears as they embraced each other and said goodbye, especially David. At last, Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for we have sworn loyalty to each other in the Lord's name. The Lord is the witness of a bond between us and our children forever. Then David left, and Jonathan returned to the town.
1 Samuel chapter 21, David runs from Saul. David went to the town of Nob to see Ahimelech, the priest. Ahimelech trembled when he saw him. Why are you alone, he asked. Why is no one with you? The king has sent me on a private matter, David said. He told me not to tell anyone why I'm here. I've told my men where to meet me later. Now, what is there to eat? Give me 5 loaves of bread or anything else you have. We don't have any regular bread, the priest replied, but there is the holy bread, which you can have if your young men have not slept with any women recently. Don't worry, David replied. I never allow my men to be with women when we are on a campaign. And since they stay clean even on ordinary trips, how much more on this one? Since there was no other food available, the priest gave him the holy bread, the bread of the presence that was placed before the Lord in the tabernacle. It had been replaced that day with fresh bread. Now, Doeg, the Edomite, Saul's chief herdsman, was there that day, having been detained before the Lord. David asked Ahimelech, "Do you have a spear or sword?" The king's business was so urgent that I didn't even have time to grab a weapon. I only have the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom you killed in the Valley of Elah, the priest replied. It is wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. Take that if you want it, for there is nothing else here. There is nothing like it, David replied. Give it to me. So David escaped from Saul and went to King Achish of Gath. But the officers of Achish were unhappy about his being there. Isn't that David, the king of the land, they asked? Isn't he the one who people honor with dances and singing? Saul has killed his thousands, David his 10,000s. David heard these comments and was very afraid of what King Achish of Gath might do to him. So he pretended to be insane, scratching on the doors and drooling down his beard. Finally, King Achish said to his men, "Must you bring me a madman? We already have enough of them around here. Why should I let someone like this be my guest?"
Okay, off we go to Mark chapter 8, verse 22 through 38. Jesus heals a blind man. When they arrived at Bethsaida, some people brought a blind man to Jesus and begged him to touch the man and heal him. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. Then, spitting on the man's eyes, he laid his hands on him and asked, "Can you see anything now?" The man looked around. "Yes," he said, "I see people, but I can't see them very clearly. They look like trees walking around." Then Jesus placed his hand on the man's eyes again, and his eyes were open. His sight was completely restored, and he could see everything clearly. Jesus sent him away, saying, "Don't go back into the village on your way home."
Peter's declaration about Jesus. Jesus and his disciples left Galilee and went up to the villages near Caesarea Philippi. As they were walking along, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" Well, they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say you are one of the other prophets." Then he asked them, "But who do you say I am?" Peter replied, "You are the Messiah." But Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him.
Jesus predicts his death. Then Jesus began to tell them that the Son of Man must suffer many terrible things and be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but 3 days later he would rise from the dead. As he talked about this openly with his disciples, Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. Jesus turned around and looked at his disciples, then reprimanded Peter. "Get away from me, Satan," he said. "You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's." Then, calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you are trying to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you'll save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message in these adulterous and sinful days, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And that is our reading today. Some really weird things in there.
For sure.
Like Saul calling Jonathan a son of a whore and then saying, "You dishonor your mother."
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good.
It was, yeah.
Saul is, you know, every time we do this, Chip, so 3 years now we've read the story of Saul together.
Mm-hmm.
He is unhinged, more unhinged every year.
That's true.
It's crazy.
Every year he gets more unhinged.
Well, just I see it more. You're like, he's nuts, man.
He's nuts. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. We have enough madmen here.
Yeah.
Love that quote.
Should have sent him over.
Yeah.
You think David's crazy for drooling on himself? Just wait.
Wait.
All right. Anyway, so we read all that with two questions in mind.
Okay.
How does this help me love God more? How does this help me love others more? So, Chip, how does this help you love God more?
Yeah. I got one very, very, very simple.
Okay.
It's not deep at all, but I think about it often when we read this, how God cares about friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And he has the ability to provide really good friends. Mm-hmm. And we see this with David and Jonathan, their loyalty to one another and, you know, their vow of friendship and how they loved each other, you know, and they swore loyalty to each other. And the Lord is a witness of our bond between us and our children.
Right.
So they were friends. But they were friends because of their loyalty to God, and because of that, their loyalty to one another. And God cares about that.
Yep.
And I've seen that firsthand in my life, and I pray that every single day for my kids. Mm. You and I talk off the air about just even recently about how friends can, you know, make us and break us.
Yep.
And we've seen the break for sure. And so it's so important that you seek God's friend for your life and for your kids' life, your grandkids' life. And He cares about that. I know it seems simple, you know, but it's there. You see that. And I love that about God.
Yeah. I was going to say something very similar about how we can love each other.
Okay. Sure.
You know, how we love each other better. I think that understanding that the blood is thicker than water. That's a lie. That's not true. Just because you're related to somebody doesn't mean that you have a better relationship with them.
No.
The reality is that the people God brings into your life that you're supposed to be connected with, you should put that should be the priority relationships in your life, right? Like, that's just the case.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. Now, blood is thicker than water. I get that sometimes what that means is, hey, you know, bad things happen, but we're related. We can always put that aside. Like, we all believe that about our kids, right?
Sure.
We're going to love our kids no matter what
Absolutely.
Happens, right? But when we, and I've seen this, and it's really, really tough to see, when we idolize family mm-hmm. and, you know, we put them above these like beautiful godly relationships that God wants us to have, man, that can do some real damage. Imagine if Jonathan had said, well, Saul's my dad, so I'm kind of with him on this one, mm-hmm. and had shot those arrows at David.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Or if he sits down at the table and goes, point. Well, Dad, I know you're upset because David's not here. He's hiding out in the field. We can go kill him right now. Like, let's just go. You're my dad. Like, yeah. I'm loyal to you over whatever. So I just think that, man, just because you're related to somebody doesn't mean that relationship is automatically going to be good and godly. And mm-hmm. just because you're not related to somebody doesn't mean you can't have a deep, meaningful friendship with them.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So invest in that really good friendship.
Absolutely. Because God gave you that.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know it sounds obvious, invest in it, but mm-hmm. it's so true today with social media and binge watching shows. People waste so much time on that. God calls us to minister to people, to be with people, to have friends, to mm-hmm. invest in friends. I mean, real relationships, one-on-one. Those things aren't bad. You can use them for God and use them for good. But I'm seeing it more today. When I look around me, that we're just giving up on our friends and not investing in them as much as we should be.
Absolutely.
Those crazy stuff.
Absolutely. Or we cut corners on those investments.
Yeah.
You know, that happens.
Sure, sure. So. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that is true. We could talk all day about that.
Yep.
Sure.
Well, hey.
Okay.
Thank you guys for joining us.
Thank you, everybody.
On Jonathan and David,
Appreciate
Read Through
it.
The Torah.
Yes.
That's us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don't forget your spear.
Oh, yeah. It's right there sticking out of the wall.
Oh, no.
I'll get that on my way out.
Okay.